The Generic Live Show is up next.
Welcome to Your Generic Live Show. This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for Sunday. Thanks for joining us. So glad to be with us. Busy show planned for tonight. Lots to do today. Unfortunately, there's been some tragic events that has happened around the world. Bottom of both hours, we'll be talking about this coup that took place in Turkey last night. But we'll talk about that. We'll spend the bottom of each hour is the big segment on that, talking about that. And I've got an interesting opinion that I don't think I've expressed on the show about what would happen if a government. What would happen and what would you be prepared to do if a government turned in on itself? And I know it's not a bright topic, but we'll dig into that a little bit later on in the broadcast. So glad to be with us here on a Sunday. Quick point of clarification before we get started, and I've got a little bit of an update for you. I want to thank everyone for their feedback that we've been getting of late. You know, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me personally. You can find my page, rather, at Dale Murray Campbell. That's DaleMurrayCampbell. Or Dale. Just search Dale Campbell and you'll see my face with the Generic Live Show banner up there. You can use the message feature at any time to message me at any time as a person did this week, mistakenly, but had a nice conversation with that fellow. Regardless, hope he's listening. If he isn't, well, that's fine. That's that. Or you can email me thechefwonder@gmail.com. Working on another email for that, but that's GLS in the subject outline. Subject line. I always do that. I don't know why I say subject outline for emails. But wanna mention all that because I've got a quick point of clarification to make. Now, I mentioned on the program last week, and I want to clarify a few things at the top of the show. This is what I like to do at the top of the show. It's like roll call. Back when you were in high school, elementary school or high school, you were in roll call and you kind of did the home notices or the school notices. This is kind of the school notices part of the show that I like to do if I have any notices at the top of the broadcast. The point is, I want to rewind some things that I said last week. Now, I mentioned on the show about Massachusetts being the first, well, not first, one of the 17th, I believe it was. I don't have the article in front of me. States to legislate transgender people using whichever bathroom and or locker room that they choose. And the and or part in the law is a little bit funny, but I'll get to that in just a sec as part of my little note, clarification here. And some other LGBT kind of anti-discrimination acts that they decided to introduce in the that are being passed down and to be made law. Now, a quick point of clarification. Now, I caught someone did send me a picture of an email attachment of I bet you're going to bake me this cake when I get a sex change, and the cake had congratulations on my, I don't like saying saying, well, that word, particularly if we're trying to straddle a PG line, but congratulations, essentially, on my new bits. I mean, I would have said the same thing. To be in all fairness, I would have said the same thing if a trans male had sent that to me. They sent that to me, and it's just like, I don't have a problem with transgender people. That's not the issue here. I mean, I have plenty of wonderful, I mean, all transgender people are wonderful, in my experience, anyway, are wonderful, and I've not had a bad experience with a transgender person, so my views are obviously biased here, but I to get that message, I'm like, why are we, what is going on here? So, and yeah, I expect you to make this cake, congratulations, I think it's actually congrats because it's a cake, you don't have much surface area, congrats on my new lady parts. That's if they were to get a sex change. I mean, my sister is transgender, so I don't have an issue with it. The thing that I was concerned about more so than have an issue with was transgender people saying they have a right to things and to pick fights with other members of the LGBT community, because I've had fights picked with me from other members of the LGBT community, excuse me. And as a member of the LGBT community with myself, it's kind of disheartening is all to see people infighting. Yeah, infighting's bad across the board. So that is the point here, is to eliminate the infighting. And as a person of the LGBT community myself, I understand that if we earn our rights as citizens, as many countries have deemed us rights to things over time, you got to think there are parts in the world, third world countries, that it's illegal to be homosexual. You still have to take that into consideration. And for people to blatantly disregard that and jump up and down about that, that's not us. That's not us to go in and do. It's just kind of, society will adapt eventually. And I find this in my personal experience, and I'm not, you know, generalizations are a bad thing across the board, but I find that transgender people are pushing a little bit too hard, is my point. That's all my point was last week. That's all I was going with there. And I hope that clarify things. I mean, if you want to go get a horn put on your third lower disc in your back and one shooting at your stomach, you can go right ahead. I don't really care about that. But to say that those people should be erased, it's kind of a bit like, well, there's only one, the minority of the population shouldn't become the majority because the minority forces themselves to be the majority. We've seen this, we saw it in the US where the High Court ruled that same-sex marriage is basically law of the land over there, but I remember saying the same thing. And of course it went to the High Court because it was a case over it, but the High Court could have easily ruled the other way. Quite easily. They didn't, and there's no revoking that now, because if you take matters to the High Court, you deem them constitutional. So, an amendment to the Constitution, yeah, well, that's not looking likely. So, that's all my point was there to that person. And there wasn't too many. Many people thought it was a refreshing take on the story. Anyway, as a member of the LGBT community, it was a refreshing perspective, and I do try and provide different perspectives. They're not necessarily, I will disclaim when they are mine, like in that case, but I will certainly ascertain different perspectives, and I will do one for you later on in the hour when we analyze these turkey coops, because I think I've got an interesting perspective that people might come to when looking at that story. So just wanted to get that fully out on the table. First up, it's been on my brain all week, guys. I mean, that email attachment was sent to me on Monday, so I've been festering for this for 6 days. So that's all that point was to get that out of the way. So now that that's out of the way, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Jurek Live Show, where Dale rants on the internet. Up next, we're talking about Donald Trump. Yeah, we're going to be talking politics here on a Sunday. Yeah, Donald Trump is presumed to be the Republican. Oh, whoops, that was a Freudian slip and a half. Yeah, well. And where was I going with that? I don't know where I was going with that. Donald Trump, vice president, ahead of the Republican National Convention, which, yes, we will be talking about here on the show next week. And the Democrats will go up next, so they will have their time in the sun. Well, I'd have to cover an election, because the one in Australia is done. So I want to talk about Donald Trump and his vice presidential nomination. He picked Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Now, for those people who don't know who if you don't know who Mike Pence is, remember back, it would have been about 12 to 15 months ago where Mike Pence came into the public eye when he passed a whole bunch of laws that back then he was going to be still the Indiana governor. He passed a whole bunch of legislation that there was the Christian Baker case where the Christian Baker refused to serve. It was a refusal to serve, basically, law to call it, quote unquote, law to call it, where if your religious beliefs clash with your clientele, you can turn down the clientele. He was the Indiana governor at the time that whole mess was going down. He is Donald Trump's running mate. And there's a piece over at the ABC by the Drum's Bruce Wallopy that kind of depicts that Donald Trump is acting very presidential. Now, for those people who don't know who Mike Pence is, we'll give you a little rundown here. I want to see, does this article doesn't talk about Pence in detail. Let's look Mike Pence up really quickly. But the point of the article is he acting presidential? Well, don't know. He's Michael Richard Pence, American politician and attorney who is serving as 50th governor of Indiana since 2013. Let's see. He went to the Indiana University. He was representative of Indiana's 6th district and Indiana's 2nd district. Let's see. Mike Pence is a lifelong Hoosier with legal, small business, and policy experience. He's also elected 50th governor of the state of Indiana in 2012, inaugurated in January 14th, 2013. Pence is dedicated to continuing Indiana on the pathway to success through fiscal responsibility, economic development. Since taking office in 2013, Pence has achieved the largest state tax cut in Indiana history, also lowering the business, personal property tax, and corporate income tax. He's also expanded school choice, increased educational opportunity for Hosea families, don't know, by signing into law first state-funded pre-K in education in Indiana. He's also made the bread because of roads, main jobs, something about prioritizing roads, $800 million in new roads. Does it talk about... It probably doesn't talk about... Also finished visited soldiers in Iraq, so he has a reputation there. He was born and raised in Columbus, Indiana. Went to Handover College in 1981, where he earned his JD from Indiana School of Law, from Indiana University School of Law in 1986. Governor Pence and First Lady Karen Pence have been married since 1985. Currently live in the governor's residence with three adult children, Michael, Charlotte, and Audrey. So that is Pence in a nutshell. Let's see if it talks about. Let's talk about if it. 2015 agenda. Let's see what his agenda is. Making progress report for 2014. Let's see what this is. I don't think there'll be anything in here. AAA credit rating from there. 5.7 unemployment rate. No, nothing there. Let's see. I want to see what he does. Governor's remarks. Let's see if there's anything. Let's see the governor's remarks. The last governor's remarks. So, Indiana's on a roll. Our budgets are balanced with no debt. All right, so it's just a middle of the road governor from Indiana. So, presidential, maybe. I mean, he's deemed as more conservative than a lot of the other people that Donald Trump could have picked, like a Chris Christie, or even a former speaker, Republican speaker Newt Gingrich. It could have been worse. I mean, Mike Pence, to all accounts, from what I've been listening to and what I've been reading and what I've been hearing, Mike Pence is kind of an okay option for Trump. You got to think, though, Donald Trump is so loud and boisterous. You got to think Mike Pence, who is deemed as a conservative in his state, would move kind of to toe Donald Trump's line, because Donald Trump is very outreaching and outgoing, and he's not going. Donald Trump is stern in his way, so he's not going to move. So there you go. It's interesting, but despite what has happened in the recent past, a conservative pick is probably not a bad idea. And an intellectual choice, and the editorial article continues with Mike Pence going, "The intelligent choice of Pence by Trump comes at a moment of real vulnerability for Hillary Clinton." I don't think so. I state that, and it's not until Clinton releases her vice presidential pick. I mean, until you got to have both sides. I mean, it's not even race. Saying that Mike Pence is a good call now is kind of a bit silly, because I would have used another word if this big red microphone in front of me weren't on, because has it put more pressure on Miss Clinton to pick a good candidate from the other side? Sure. But does it make her vulnerable? Not as of yet until she picks her candidate. But the real question for Trump, according to this article, is can he come out of this convention with a real boost of appeal and accessibility? Maybe. I'm staying at my opinion on this. We are coming up on a break, so we do have to head off but to commercial break. But I will say this about Donald Trump. It's like, let's see if Donald Trump can stay on message for 2.5 seconds. Maybe it is a wise move that he did pick Pence. I mean, it's not. It depends on how that plays out. I mean, is Donald Trump going to listen to Pence? Is Donald Trump going to move to Pence, or is Pence going to move to Trump? That's the real big question here. No one knows. No one knows yet. But to say that this is a presidential temperament, I don't think so. I think it's a ploy. I think it might be more of a ploy to say, here, I picked a conservative. Conservatives? And conservatives are smart people. I know some of them. They're smart people. They wouldn't they would look at Pence and go, all right, Pence. So we still don't like the president themselves. So, sorry. There you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, Pokemon Go is a huge deal. We've got it. Actually, it's a big deal. We're covering it twice in this show. This first time, we're going to be talking about how a Vaporeon appears in Central Park and has caused one of the most terrifying stampedes you'll ever see. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, thanks for joining us. It's 9:22.
Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on Blog Talk Radio. Just search the Generic Live Show and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Sad music resembles sad times for all. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday on the Generic Live Show. I'm actually working myself up to tears. I don't know why. I shouldn't laugh. Around 11 o'clock on Thursday night, Pokemon Go trainers from around New York City gathered in Central Park, hearing someone called that a Vaporeon had swarmed nearby. Once one player catches a Pokemon, it will only linger on other players' apps for just a few minutes before despawning, where it's gone forever. So hundreds of players rush towards Vaporeon's alleged location, hoping to grab the Pokemon before it disappeared. A fellow Pokemon Go trainer captured the Vaporeon stampede on video and posted it to Vimeo yesterday. The video... actually, I'm crying. The video shows one man getting out of his running car to join the crowd trying to catch the Vaporeon, while the video taker and a friend watch in amusement. Given that the EV evolutions are totally random, and no, there is no actual trick to picking an EV evolution, regardless of what other sites say, it's no wonder that there was a mad rush to grab the Vaporeon. Where am I? The EVs are uncommon in Pokemon Go, and the EV evolutions in the wild are even more rare. Pokemon Go is now the biggest mobile app in history. If we've got one message for you today, it's be careful out there. Because you don't want to be a part of this.
Look at this. There's a Vaporeon on that spot right there, so everyone's running.
There's a what there?
Did you tell your
There's a Vaporeon.
That's funny.
Oh my god, I'm like...
Oh my god. Everyone's just... Well...
It's no laughing matter. People are getting hurt. Fortunately enough, though, no one was hurt in this incident. But please, have this as a PSA. I can turn the music back down now. As a PSA to everyone, please be careful. On lighter news, if you're a wanted person on the wanted list at, I don't know which one it was, it's at a police station where they're claiming that, I'm trying to find it, someone posted it earlier on and I can't seem to find it. Ah, here we go. Manchester, there you go. Manchester, New Hampshire. Police has put out a statement. Can I have that sad music again? Alright, let's keep the sad music back up again. Alright. Attention. All area Pokemon Go players. We have recently found out that there's a Charizard in our booking area. With the Charizard being such a rare character, we are only inviting a specific number of people. If your name appears on the following list, you are one of the lucky ones. Come down to the station to capture Charizard. Hurry before the Charizard leaves. Why the segment the segment turns zomba, I don't know why. It's oh wow. No, I didn't. Actually, if you look at the archive, I'm actually tearing up. I don't know why I'm tearing up over this. But that's how it was. I'm not being facetious. Do be careful when you are playing Pokemon Go, though. In all seriousness. But please, if you are on that list by the Manchester, New Hampshire Police Department, please do go down there to catch your free Charizard. Even though it might even give you a padded cell. Who knows? As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we will talk about the tragic coup attempt in Turkey. We'll give you all of the details and everything you need to know. Plus, we'll mention these attacks in Nice that happened as well, and I'll give you a perspective that you probably might not heard of before. It'll give you a different perspective on the matter as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday, 9:31. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Glad to be with us here on the Generic Live Show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. So glad to be with us here on a Sunday. Lots to talk about here at the bottom of the hour in regards to this coup attempt that happened yesterday, I'm led to believe, by Turkey, as it's turning out here. Thanks for joining us so much. I got a video here from Al Jazeera. It's about a 6-minute video, but it'll run down. We'll play that for you in just a moment. But we'll give this to you. Actually, let's see. Let's see if the speech thing works.
A coup attempt by an army faction in Turkey has been put down, Turkish Prime Minister Binali Yildirim said, after thousands of people heeded a call from President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and took to the streets. Yildirim told broadcaster NTV that a no-fly zone had been declared over the capital, Ankara, blaming followers of U.S.-based preacher Fethullah Gulen. The coup attempt is foiled, Turkey's National Intelligence Agency had earlier said in a statement. Sections of the Turkish army had earlier officially declared a coup and martial law, saying that they had taken control of the country as Istanbul's main airport was closed and fighter jets were seen in the skies. Erdogan, in a phone call to broadcaster CNN Turk on Friday, said he remained the president of the country and the head of the army and called for people to take to the streets against the coup. "We will overcome this," Erdogan said, speaking on a video call to a mobile phone held up to the camera by a presenter. He called on his followers to take to the streets to defend his government and said the coup plotters would pay a heavy price.
That is that. Well, thank you. Speech to text, actually, in here. Let's see. Apparently, there's rolling coverage of this happening right now. We'll see what rolling coverage is happening in regards to this. I don't know if there's live video. We'll see.
It will take time, but I believe and I hope it wouldn't take more than 24 hours.
I'm sure that would be the hope of many people in Turkey, Jamal Hashimi. Why is it that you think there are certain sections of the army who have decided they wanted to break away?
The chair of the Turkish Nationalist Party has made a statement that this is an attempt against Turkish democracy and called people to protect democracy. That's one of the opposition parties.
I'm so sorry, I missed that. Could you say that again?
A leader of an opposition party, Turkish Nationalist Party.
Which opposition party is it, Jamal?
MHP.
Okay.
Nationalist Movement Party has made a statement, that's an info that I've just received, asking people to protect democracy.
Jamal Hashimi, we really appreciate
you. We have heard that. We do have an info, confirmed info that head of Republican Party and other parties are also making similar statements. But obviously, I do not have confirmation right now with me as of now.
Sure.
Jamal Hashimi, by the way, that the video is not live. The rolling coverage ended when it was going live on Friday. So that is not live coverage. Just want to clarify that. But an interesting interview nonetheless from Al Jazeera. Want to bring this video to you, then we'll tell you more about that. It's interesting, by the way, that is coming from the opposition to the Turkish Prime Minister, by the way. The interesting to note that, by the way, it's not coming from within the current party, quote-unquote party, from the Turkish government. Want to see if there's any more information you need to consume in this, then we want to get to this other video from CNN. So we've got a lot of information for you to bombard with and lots of analysis. We'll get to this video here just now by Al Jazeera.
Prime Minister Ben Ali Yildirim has reportedly said that a group within the military has engaged in an attempted coup. That is being reported by the Reuters news agency. We do know that earlier there were reports that military jets and helicopters were flying low over the capital Ankara, and that the two bridges crossing the Bosphorus River in Istanbul have been closed, or at least partially closed, by the army. There's also multiple reports of tanks on the streets. Let's get more on this breaking news now with Al Jazeera's Zeyna Hodda. She joins us from the Turkish city of Gaziantep. Zeyna, it's a confusing picture at the moment, but from what the Prime Minister has been telling Turkish television, one part of the military appears to have tried to carry out some sort of a coup.
Well, yes, a very confusing picture. But just in the past few minutes, the Turkish Prime Minister, in a statement, said that a military coup attempt is underway in Turkey. He is blaming a group of generals, a part of the military, but at the same time, he is saying that they will be punished, reassuring the public that they will do whatever is necessary and democracy is not under threat. In the past hour, there have been reports of Turkish tanks, armored vehicles on the streets of Turkey's main cities, Ankara, Istanbul. There were reports of jets flying low over the capital, the Turkish capital, Ankara. A stepped-up military presence in Istanbul, unusual activity, really, in these main cities.
What I want to say this, by the way, the Prime Minister of Turkey has come out at this time to say that, I think I read somewhere that it's under control, I think, but my point here is from CNN, wants the US to send rival cleric home. We'll get to this video in just a moment here as an ad plays. But they're declaring his government firmly in control of a Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Saturday deemed the US to arrest or extradite an exiled Islamic cleric he blamed for the coup attempt that ended in nearly 200 people dying. We'll bring you all that information in just a moment on what the death toll is looking like at this stage. But here is this video, or audio of the video, from CNN.
The environment here has been completely electric, and I was trying to make it back to the European side where my hotel was. We couldn't make it because the bridges were blocked. We were told to turn around. There was an attempted coup.
I don't know if there's any more speaking going on here, but we'll bring you some numbers. By the way, there's a tragic event that what we know so far, at least 265 people died 1,440 people wounded in the capital city over this coup attempt from the faction of the government. More than 2,800 officers have been detained from this point, and Turkey has deemed their airspaces to be closed. But the US has come out and said that their acts against ISIS still remain active, and of course they have to go through Turkish airspace if they want to drop bombs on Syria and on members of ISIS. I want to put this out there, though. I said in the tease that I have a bit of a different perspective on this. Of course, this first hour, for those people who've been here before, is very, very information-filled, because we know that a lot of you, either if you're in the US or here at home, if you're in the US, you're just waking up hearing, it happened a couple of days ago, but hearing the show live, or you're preparing yourself for the new week, even here in Australia, preparing yourself for the new week. Want to get my perspective out real quick before we have to sneak off to commercial break. Want to say this, and I want to say this seriously. This is why that last segment that came off is so sad. But want to say this. If this is a prime example of the government turning in on itself. Now, I know before it was a opposition quote unquote party that led this charge to happen, but in all, it was the army led by a prime minister who happened under watch. I mean, everyone is in shock around the world as this happens. But I feel that it's put a dint in my day. Are we prepared for tyranny if it was to happen as a general population? And tragically, 260 people have lost their lives, reportedly. And you've got to think, that is just insane. The death toll jumped from 60 dead to over 1,000 hospitalized, at least 754. And the president coming out saying that the government's under control, to now, 9:47, saying that 265 have dead, 1,440, excuse me, are wounded, and over 8,000 are injured. It makes you wonder of a matter of sense of control in this situation. You're going to think, I live in Australia, so we don't have terror attacks that happen like this. And it's not a terror attack in this case, unless it was in France, which we do not have time to talk about in this episode. And it was a lone wolf attack as well in that case. This is the government turning in on itself. It's 2016. It's in Turkey, I'm aware. But are we getting to a point where we're going to seriously considering World War III or world government tyranny? It's grim stuff, I know. I am fully aware it's a grim concept. I don't think we are. And here's why. And I'll end on this point. And like I said, part of the reason is because it's 2016. We've had two world wars. Nations are at conflict with each other. I don't think, because we live in 2016, where, yes, political correctness is a thing, it's not correct to go in to another country and say, hey, I want this because I deem it mine. That is what's happening here. We're not ready to go to war because everyone is sitting back. We've seen this time and time again with countless terror attacks that I have. So it's tough to say, and I understand it's a lot larger than that, and I have time next hour to fully fledge out my opinion. But the question is, are we ready for world government tyranny? I believe it's no. Because everyone is sitting back. Well, everyone's sitting back, does that mean that everyone is just ready to unleash everything? I don't think so. I don't think we've built up everything. Whew. Glad I got that out of my system. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for Sunday. I'm just thinking, how do I do this tease? This tease is interesting. We like M&Ms, but some more creatures might get to know M&Ms a little bit better. See? There you go. It's hard doing these transitions sometimes on the Generic Live Show. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. 9:51. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Well, you remember this song, Wuthering Heights from Kate Bush? And yet this song celebrated its 35th anniversary. 35th anniversary. Is it 35th? No, that can't be right. 1978. That's 45th, isn't it? God, math is hard. It really is. 38. That can't be right. You know, this is kind of ruining the story. Yeah, 38th. It's celebrating its 38th anniversary yesterday. It did. But you know, it's a really bizarre anniversary. Because I looked at the math and went, 38? Okay. But this year it was taking on a whole new meaning. Flash mobs across Australia have thrown fiery red dresses and green eyeshadow on to recreate the film clip to mark the most Wuthering Heights day ever. There you go. A flash mob to symbolise the iconic red dress worn by Kate Bush in the video. And it's quite interesting. Kate Bush is one of the most interesting singers. She has an incredible range, actually. And if you heard it on that song, she has quite an interesting range. She goes from high to low, and I actually have a soft spot for Kate Bush, I'm not going to lie. I haven't been listening to Kate Bush recently, but there was a time there where I was listening to Kate Bush. I like her song, This Woman's Work, or is it just Woman's Work? This Woman's Work. It's fantastic, and I actually heard it on a cover music podcast, and I actually had the CD for a period of time. I don't know where it is. That CD is. I had a CD, I think I got given to me or donated to me, and through moves and unpacking and whatnot, it came, It came with a whole bunch of covers. It was a Starbucks album. It came out a couple of years ago for Mother's Day, and it had Gwyneth Paltrow covering Kate Bush's This Woman Spoke. But I like the original just as much as the cover of it. So there's that. Wuthering Heights celebrating its 38th anniversary, but with flash mobs, because why not, in red dresses. But I said earlier that drones to scatter vaccine-coated M&Ms to save endangered ferrets. Ferrets will get a healthy dosage of M&Ms, but from Amazon. A racing competitor. Competitors, drones being drawn into unexpected aspects of life. But perhaps it's more unlikely that a plant deemed to help save the black-footed ferrets, an endangered mammal in the Great Plains. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services intends to use drone to scatter vaccine-coated M&Ms over the UL Blend National Wildlife Refuge in Montana to help protect the animals from a devastating disease. Quote, plague is primary obstacle to the black-footed ferret recovery, the FWS wrote in its proposal. After more than 20 years of incentive and reintroduction efforts across 27 reintroduction sites ranging from Mexico to Canada, approximately 300 ferrets were known to exist in the wild at the end of 2015. The vaccine to combat the plague has previously been distributed by hand, which obviously provoked inadequate and difficult to manage. A drone would cover much of the territory much faster than humans. The FWS plan calls for drones to fly between 3 and 30 meters, that's about 10 to 100 feet, above the ground and scatter 50 pellets of vaccinated treated M&Ms per hectare. That's pretty cool stuff, actually. You know, it's amazing. I came back from a commercial break. I didn't think I unmuted my microphone, and I did. Yay! You know, producing! But these M&Ms are really interesting, and M&Ms, they can look like normal pellets. And if they don't, not allergic to chocolate or anything like that, I can't see why not. It's quite an interesting incentive, if you ask me. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, lots to do in our second hour, of course. Well, you know, we've got these stories out of the US. Malcolm Turnbull promises to deliver innovation to Australia. But An opinion piece tells us why he could fail. Why he could fail to deliver innovation. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Glad you could be with us here on a Sunday. Thanks for listening. It's 10 o'clock.